What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
All right, those of you just joining us here, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You just heard Christine with the terrible news. Woj tweeting it about 10 minutes ago. If you're a basketball fan, it's bad news. If you're a Knicks fan, it is devastating news. Julius Randle out for the season, will undergo season-ending shoulder surgery. All signs had been pointing in this direction for the last little while, but you were able to hold out some hope that maybe he'd be able to return for a Knicks team that has not only had a terrific year, but have sort of made themselves fun to watch and easy to root for, which is not something we've been able to say about them for a long time. Injuries playing such an enormous role in where we are with all the basketball right now. Out goes Randle, down go the Knicks. Back comes Embiid. Up go the Sixers. I ask you, the Celtics wrapped up the one seed in the Eastern Conference with their win yesterday. We still have, whatever, most teams have six, seven, something like that, games left. What team poses the biggest threat to them? Cam, what team, which team in the Eastern Conference? Because with a healthy Randle and Anunoby, I'm not sure the answer to this wouldn't have been the Knicks. Obviously, with a healthy Lillard and Giannis, you have to give the Bucks some chance, although they have been awful of late. They've been basically mediocre since they made the coaching change. Cleveland's had ups and downs with injuries. Which team do you think? Miami always punches above its weight class in the playoffs. Bubba, which team? If I told you right now, the Celtics don't come out of the East, and it isn't because one of their two top players, you know, suffers some terrible injury. I don't even want to put that into the zeitgeist. Someone just flat out beats them. Who would you bet me right now it's going to be?
That's a tough. I mean,
I can't see it.
I know. I don't.
They're so far ahead.
Because the first round, we kind of expect the Sixers to get out to the seventh spot. So I assume they're going to win the first, because if it was the Sixers in the first round, I'd say maybe, but I don't. They're going to win the first round. Even if they're playing the Bucks in the championship, I want to say no one. Like I guess maybe the Bucks. Like you said, theoretically, if Giannis and Lillard are both healthy, I guess they have to have some sort of a chance more than anyone. I guess the Bucks, just based on those two. But then again, you never know what Doc's going to do. But I guess just based on the talent alone, Giannis and Lillard have to perform something. So I guess the Bucks.
Just glancing at the NBA standings, it's fascinating. I brought this up yesterday, and it is now even more pronounced. The space between the Celtics at 1 and the Bucks at 2 in the Eastern Conference,
that's ridiculous,
is now 13 games. The Celtics have a 13-game lead in the Eastern Conference over the number 2 team. And here's another way of looking at it. The Celtics right now, 14.5 games behind the top seed is Cleveland at 3. Right now, Cleveland is the 3 seed in the East. They are 14.5 games behind Boston at number 1. In the West, Minnesota and Denver are tied at number 1. If you go 14.5 games behind them, you get to Houston, who is 11th.
Insane.
So the distance from 1 to 3 in the NBA is the same as the distance, excuse me, in the East, is the same as the distance from 1 to 11 in the West. In fact, that 13-game deficit that the number 2 team has is greater than the difference distance from 1 to 10 in the West. From the 10th seed in the West is Golden State. They're 11.5 games out of first. The 10th seed in the East is the Hawks, and the Bulls tied. They're 24 games out of first. So what the Celtics have done to the Eastern Conference, they have genuinely lapped the field. And there goes one of the few teams that I could have seen making them break a sweat.
I mean, the 9th and 10th season, the Eastern Conference are 4 games under 500.
Right.
They're not even close to 500.
Right. Right. They're not particularly good. And the 9th and 10th teams in the West have LeBron James and Steph Curry on them.
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, that the Rockets team, the 11th, they're at least a game over 500.
That's right. The Rockets' record right now, the Rockets, who are 11th, would be...
Looks like they'd be 8th.
They would be 8th.
Or 9th. No, they'd be
9th.
Behind the
Sixers. Let's keep going. The Lakers, who are 9th in the West right now, would be just behind the Knicks. They would be 6th in the East and with a bullet. Right? They would be closing fast.
Crazy.
On all of that. Yeah, so the West... And even... Okay, let's do this. We just did the college one, right? I would be more surprised if the UConn men lose than I will be if the South Carolina women lose. Even though I bet you the odds at ESPN Bet and everything make South Carolina a greater favorite to win. They've been the best team all year. They're unbeaten. Connecticut is not. They have lost games. But whatever. I asked that question, which would be the bigger surprise to you? Which would you write if I told you
they're,
right now?
They're both minus 200, by the way.
Okay, so it's the same. Right now, if I asked you, only one of the two, Denver and Boston, are going to make it to the final. Which one would you tell me is going to make it? Is it just obviously Boston? Because Denver has so much tougher run?
I think it is. Yeah.
You have to say that. Yeah. I mean, the amount of teams.
Logic tells you have to say it.
Yeah.
But show me the team that's beating Denver. Show me the team in the West that is beating Denver in a 7-game series.
I think any of them could on a good week. I think something Herculean would have to happen in the East for the Celtics to go down. I would pick it to be the Heat.
Who on a good week is beating Denver in a best of 7? Dallas?
Dallas.
Minnesota?
Dallas, Phoenix,
Kat?
Clippers.
I don't know. Could the Lakers get
Thunder?
Hot? I mean, who knows?
I saw that series last year. I was there for all of the games.
They got smoked.
There were only 4 of them.
Well, they're playing better now than I think they're...
They were playing pretty well at that point, right? They made a run all the way to the West Final. Team is mostly the same as it was.
It would still just shock me more. I think we are headed towards Celtics Nuggets, but it's been so bunched. The Nuggets are so hot right now.
And they're just so good.
Yeah.
Like, they're just... The Nuggets are so good. Jokic is so ridiculously good. Look, I love Minnesota. I love Anthony Edwards. I would love to see good things happen for them. It's a series I'd like to see. They're not at full strength. Oklahoma City is so young. OKC reminds me of last year's Sacramento team. Magnificent season. Felt like they were the future of the league. They were the team everybody wanted to play in the first round. Golden State wound up getting them in the first round in the 3-6, and the Warriors knocked them out in a game 7 in Sacramento. That's what I think OKC is this year.
I think they're better than that Kings team.
Maybe. I mean, look, SGA is an MVP. De'Aaron Fox was not the MVP. I don't think De'Aaron Fox was as close to being. They had 2 All-NBA players last year, right? Did Fox make an All-NBA team last year?
I assume so. I can check.
I think Sabonis did.
Yeah.
Domantas Sabonis, I was a voter. I should remember this. I think Domantas Sabonis did. I'm not sure. I mean, to be an All-NBA guard is so freaking hard.
They both were.
What team was De'Aaron Fox on? Sabonis, I think, was 2nd team.
I'm looking it up. There's a lot of tabs here.
Kemba usually finds this
He's very fast.
This is where we miss Kemba.
Fox was 3rd team last year,
Fox
but
was
he was there.
Team. So the first team, have you got the 3? Who were the first team guards last year? Was it SGA? This is going to take a minute. Was it SGA and who was the other first team? Was it Luka? How can this be taking you this long?
There's a lot of tabs here.
What does that even mean? You can't just look. I mean, it's not just on a screen
SGA
somewhere?
SGA was first team. Then we have Donovan Mitchell is in there.
What do you mean in there?
Steph Curry's in there. I'm reading you the 2nd team now.
But what was, so the first team was SGA and Donovan Mitchell?
No, the first team was SGA and Luka.
How are you looking this up? What is it you're looking at that you're having this much trouble? Why are you not just looking at a screen that says, here were the 5 players on the first team, here were the 5 players on the 2nd team, and here were the 5 players on the 3rd team?
I am, but I'm scrolling, so I'm trying to scroll through. The next 2 were Donovan Mitchell and Steph Curry on the 2nd team.
Right.
And then it was De'Aaron Fox and Damian Lillard on the 3rd team.
Okay. How many all-NBA players is OKC going to have this year, for whatever that's worth? SGA is going to be first team for sure.
Probably just 2 still.
He might even be... SGA might win the MVP. Right now, he's 3rd in the odds behind both Jokic and Luka.
By a lot.
Yeah, I know, which confuses me because the Mavericks are so far behind. Like, the Mavericks are 7.5 games out of the 1 seed. OKC is 1 game out of the one seed.
Jokic is minus 2,000 right now.
Right.
He's pretty much got it locked up.
I mean, the world thinks he has it locked up. And I will make no complaint. I have a vote. Let me ask you a question, by the way. Is the first team as easy this year as I think it is? Like, I always go over this with people, and I take this very seriously. This is a responsibility that I take very seriously because I know the players have a lot riding on this. So I really want to make sure I get this right. So I usually will sit down with my nephew for a day. I'll sit down with my son for a day. I'll call up the NBA researcher, Matt Williams from the NBA shows, who is like the Hembo of the NBA. I'll go over these with him before I cast my vote because I want to make sure that I get these right. But this year, is it just obvious? Is it SGA, Luka, Giannis, Tatum, and Jokic? Like, is there any real argument for anyone else to be first team All NBA? Am I missing something? What am I missing?
Embiid getting injured definitely makes it easier because he
would
have been in there.
Jokic is clearly the center, right?
Yeah. So I think it might have been a battle between those two. But a couple of these guys getting injured, Tatum is definitely on there.
Is there any way that the guards are not Luka and SGA?
No, I don't think so.
That's what I mean. Like,
Lillard hasn't had a good season. Not even close.
No, not even close. I mean, Jalen Brunson has had a magnificent season.
I think he'll make all NBA.
He'll make second or third team. But he's not first team. He's not going to go ahead of Luka or SGA. So I think it's going to – I mean, I hate to say it. The first team is going to be that easy. But I think the first team is sort of self-explanatory. It sort of lays itself out. But anyway, to circle all the way back to the beginning of the conversation, you know, the Knicks are a very popular team, and it is a shame that it sort of went this way for them because they have been a very hard team to root for a long time. I grew up – everyone associates me being a fan of the Jets now, and I understand that. But in my youth, the Knicks were every bit as important to me as a fan as the Jets were. And then I lost a lot of that when I went to Chicago and I started covering the Bulls and I was around Jordan and those guys all the time, you know, and that rivalry was what it was. I had all kinds of conflicting emotions. And then when the Knicks went into basically a two-decade-long stretch of not only being bad, but being almost impossible to like, to where it basically became, it felt like a job to root for them rather than something that you took pleasure in. Finally, they come out the other side of that. They're having their best season and the most enjoyable season that they've had, very likely in something like 25 years. So it's a shame that it ends with the injury. I tell you what, injuries in the NBA, we need to look this thing up. I don't feel like it used to be like this. Like, I do not feel like injuries the way that it does in football. Injuries decide football seasons, right? Every single year. Because football is a game where injury is so prevalent. It is a 100% possibility that people are going to get hurt playing football. It did not used to be that in basketball. Like, the best players didn't get hurt. I feel like at nearly the level of frequency that they are now. That's something we need to do a little research on. All right, we got more to do. Out today, we got Cam doing a little trivia for us. Cameron, take it away.
That's right. Bubba gets the group trivia. So we're going solo trivia today. So six players, including Stefon Diggs, have caught 100 or more passes in a single season with two different franchises, but only one of them has done it with three. So you're looking for the only player in NFL history who's caught 100 or more passes in a single season with three different franchises.
I like the question. The answer is next. ESPN Radio. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. This is the Eagles, right? This is the greatest selling album of all time, the Eagles' greatest hits. We had that as a trivia question earlier. Change up the dynamic a little, but now we have a more traditional sports trivia question, and it's a good one. Cam, go.
Who is the only player in NFL history with 100 or more receptions in a single season with three different franchises?
It's a tough one. So I'm sitting in here with Pineapple Jack and Brandon, and we're sort of batting around a lot of names. Bubba, I wasn't talking to you during a break. Did you come up? I know this is individual trivia, but
I don't have anyone of consequence. I can't think of anyone good. I'm trying to go through teams in my head, players. I can't think of anyone.
I feel like
good.
The most obvious one would be Terrell Owens, yeah, but I'm going to say, yeah, I think he's not right. T.O.'s best year in Philly,
I don't think
he got
it's
hurt
right either.
I don't think he caught 100 passes, right? He broke his ankle or whatever it was and came back for the Super Bowl. That was when they outlawed the, you know, what do you call it?
The
horse collar tackle.
On Roy Williams.
So I don't think that, I don't think he caught 100 passes for Philadelphia. Jerry Rice had huge years in Oakland. So he definitely would have had 100, I believe he would have had 100 catch season there and obviously in San Francisco. He then played for Denver and Seattle briefly. I don't think he had 100 catches for either of them, but I don't have a better guess. Who else have we even kicked around? Like, I can't – who are we not thinking of? It's not Randy Moss. I don't think – Randy Moss didn't catch 100 passes for the Raiders. I'm not even sure he caught 100 with Brady that year. Well, he may have in New England. He might have done it in two places, but I don't think it would be three. Chris Carter might have done it in Philly and Minnesota, but that's not three.
Yeah, I thought of Carter. I mean, I don't. Three teams is insane.
Three teams is a lot. We went through some of the tight ends. I don't think it's any of them. Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Kelsey, obviously. We need a guess. Brandon Marshall? Brandon Marshall's not a bad guess. Could he have done it in Denver?
Brandon Marshall's not bad.
He could have done it in Denver. Did he catch 100 balls as a Jet? He may have. And then with Cutler in Chicago. Okay, you know what? We don't have a better guess, so we're going to join together. And in the interest of moving this along, Cam, we're going to say Brandon Marshall.
That's right.
Oh! Yes! Wow. Oh, look how it got. Come on, Brandon.
Hey,
Brandon is excited. He likes it.
That was impressive. Yeah, I did not
Brandon.
Think you were pulling that.
Who said it? Who was the first one who said it?
Me?
You said it.
I said it.
Attaboy, Brandon.
Yes.
That's good.
He's just thinking of his own name.
Let's get the man a wonton soup for his a celebration. You deserve it.
And I'm going to switch up the whole Lifesavers and make it Starburst.
Okay. Much healthier.
That's Brandon Phillips. He's a beautiful man. He's the one who told me he was going on a diet, nothing but wonton soup and Lifesavers. And look, he managed to gain 17
wow.
pounds. So
Brandon
that's...
Marshall's the only one who's done that in the NFL?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'll read you the full list. Brandon Marshall did it three times with the Broncos, Bears, and the Jets.
Right.
Stephon Diggs did it twice with the Vikings and the Bills. Tyreek Hill did it with the Chiefs and the Dolphins. Devontae Adams did it with the Packers and the Raiders. DeAndre Hopkins did it with the Texans and the Cardinals.
He came up. We talked about
he
DeAndre
could also
Hopkins.
Do it. He could
yeah.
also do it a third time right. if he has a good season with the Titans. The last one's Adam Thielen. With the Vikings and the Panthers. No one else has done it. Randy Moss didn't do it twice. Terrell Owens didn't do it twice. Jerry Rice didn't
Jeez.
Do it twice.
Wow.
Just
it
these
twice.
Guys. Yeah.
But Rice didn't catch 100 balls as a Raider?
No. He had a couple good seasons, but not 100 passes. He had over 1,000 yards a couple times.
I can't believe the list is that low to not even do it twice.
Yeah. That's a great question. Really well done. Okay,
good pull.
Who needs Hembo?
Good wide receivers.
Let him stay home and babysit. I mean, we got good trivia today. Bubba's got fun trivia with the record albums, and
Brandon's
Cam's
eating
got
Starburst.
Good trivia. Yeah, Brandon's eating Starburst. I mean, so far I'd say this thing has been a win. In the meantime,
I need you to listen carefully.
I just want you to know.
With all due respect, Evan Cohn is an idiot. I mean, so Evan Cohn, who hosts Unsportsmanlike in the mornings with Chris Canty and Michelle Smallman, they have this bit, which I like a lot, where they do these ESPN personality drafts, where they debate, like, who would you most want to do this with or that with? Who would you most want to go to a baseball game with? Who's the funniest? Who's the whatever? They do that, and they each select people. And this topic, was this today or yesterday they did this?
Yesterday.
Yesterday's list was the top three people you would like to invite to a party. And when I tell you, Evan Cohen's list is so bad that I would never consider attending this party. He listed at number one, Dan Orlovsky.
First pick.
What?
Dan Orlovsky. I love Dan. He's one of my favorite people in the entire world. Dan Orlovsky would suck at a party. Dan Orlovsky doesn't eat anything. He doesn't swear ever. I've never seen it. I've played a bunch of golf with Orlovsky. I would love to play golf with Orlovsky. Orlovsky is not a partier. Whatever the opposite of a partier is, it's Orlovsky. The only person less fun at a party than Dan Orlovsky is me. I'm his second choice. Evan Cohen needs to be discontinued from doing these lists.
So
I'm surprised his final choice wasn't Hembo.
His third choice is Chinea Gumbuke.
That's a good one.
Great one. Do you follow her on Instagram? She is always having fun, and she used to come in here and do Get Up with me all the time.
She shouldn't be subjected to this party now.
I feel bad for her.
It's too bad now. She shouldn't have to go to a party with you and Orlovsky.
Well, here's the beauty of it. She wouldn't. Chinea would unquestionably have better options than to attend a party where Orlovsky and I are. So that will never happen. But if you've ever been around Chinea Gumbuke, no one has more energy. No one has more life. Brandon knows. You've been here with her a million times when she would do Get Up. She's fun. She's always laughing. She's always in a good mood.
She was on with us yesterday.
She is awesome and fun and great.
That's a good pick. She would be great at a party. One out of three.
She should have been the first pick. He picked Orlovsky, awful. Me, even worse. I don't like parties. I don't go to parties because I don't like them. Why? I generally don't like being around people. Everyone knows that. Do people think I'm a people person? I'm not.
I mean, you've made a living talking to people for 30 years. So.
But I've not made a listening back to what they tell me.
You get paid to talk to people.
This is not a one-way conversation. And that's how I like it. If you ever encounter me at a party, just walk up and say, "Hi, Greeny, I'm listening." I'll be glad to talk like crazy. But I'm not good at pretending I'm listening. I'm very bad at that. I don't like going to party. I am a terrible person at a party. I'm not a party person, and neither is Orlovsky. So now let's go through some of these other people. Michelle picked number one, Marcus Spears.
Good job.
Great pick.
That rivals Chinee for the number one overall seed, right? Like, Marcus is the UConn of this bracket. He's got to be a one seed.
Good pick.
No one is more fun than Marcus. First of all, Marcus, I don't think he'll mind me telling this story. The year LSU wins the national championship in football, we were doing Get Up from down there. So that's central time. So we're going on the air 5 a.m. No, that was Mike and Mike. We're going on the air 7 a.m. to do Get Up. But our meeting, which is usually 6 a.m., is 5 a.m. So we're meeting in the lobby of a hotel at 4:45 a.m. It's me, Laura Rutledge, Ryan Clark, Marcus Spears, one or two other people. I don't remember who else was there, but we're all meeting down there. They're going to take us to wherever it is we're doing the show from. We're all sitting there. We're all waiting. We're all in the car. We're in the vans. We're ready to go. We're waiting for Marcus. Marcus comes kind of dragging in. Now, bear in mind, he's an LSU alum. And Marcus comes kind of dragging in, and he hops into the van. And, you know, I'm kind of the leader of the group, so he looks at me and he goes, "Sorry, G." And I said, "You're right." He goes, I was on that yak. That's where that expression came from. I was on that yak. He was celebrating. Marcus is fun when nothing is going on. Marcus is a party when no party is being had. Marcus is nothing but energy and fun. If you follow him on Instagram, he eats life. He's eating. He's cooking. He's falling off of boats. I took him to my gym one time. They still talk about him. He's so athletic. So Marcus is a great pick. So that was Michelle's pick. That's an excellent pick. Number two, she picked Nick Saban. What do we think of that pick? Would you like to be at a party with Nick Saban?
I think that's actually a good pick. You need some balance at a party. Saban's going to be sitting in the corner drinking some cognac and telling stories.
Yeah.
You know, he can socialize.
It's a different party.
He's a bit curmudgeonly, but, you know, it's in the other room. Marcus is getting people pumped up in the other room. Saban's in the lounge telling stories about, you know, his coaching days. I like the pick.
I think Saban has the ability to loosen up a little bit, too.
He's not coaching anymore. He's probably much more chill.
I think it's a great pick, too. I think he's kind of Belichick-esque, where he's funny. He's obviously not going to be as, you know, hard nose as he is coaching. So I think it's a great pick. It's an underrated pick.
By the way, Marcus played for Nick Saban, so they would enjoy each other's company.
Someone he's comfortable with.
If I were picking someone to have dinner with, which is what I generally do, I don't go to parties. I very selectively choose people, and we go out for dinner with them. Of all the people at ESPN, if you said I could have any one person, I think Saban would be my first pick.
That'd be a great one.
Because then I would love to just sit and listen to the stories. The stories are phenomenal. I had dinner with Tannenbaum and his wife, was it last weekend? Sometime very recently. He's got unbelievable stories.
I can imagine.
I mean, the stories he's got of working with Belichick, of working with Parcells, of all these guys. I mean, these guys have great stories. So Saban would be a great choice. And then Michelle picked Jay Williams as her third pick. It's a good pick. I don't know how much fun Jay would be at a party. I can't decide. He might be a lot of fun. But I'm not exactly sure. What do you guys think?
I think it's a solid pick. It's a good third pick. She's got a very strong top two and rounds it out with Jay, who's probably he's going to bring energy.
Yeah,
I think
a lot of energy.
He's probably going to, you know, he might bring Coach K too. You know, you never know if these guys get plus ones too. So
Canty picked Patrick Costello, Kimberly Martin, and L. Duncan. What do we think of that list?
The second two are great.
Pat Costello, to be clear for everyone, is an AP working on the show.
So okay, thank God.
He picked a staff member.
For one horrible moment, I thought, is that an on-air person I'm supposed to know?
Like, yeah, he was on Get Up this morning.
Who the hell is Patrick Costello?
Yeah, so for some
reason, you're not expected to know who that is.
Okay,
thank
goodness. Can't he pick a staff member as his number one pick?
Okay, I would go to a party with Lou Costello and Elvis Costello. I don't even know who Patrick Costello is. So why in the world is Chris Canty picking him as his number one party date?
I'll share it just a little bit. Jay Will had a birthday party last year. Pat Costello went to the party, had a lot to drink, some fun stories from that party. Nothing bad or anything, but I think the pick of Pat Costello came from that party.
Okay. So now we have a whole other issue.
Yeah.
Why did Jay Williams have a birthday party and I was not invited?
Because you wouldn't have gone.
No, I know that, but I still want to be invited.
He wants the invite.
We know you want the invite, but you're not going to go.
Let's make it very clear. Even if someone is not going to come to your party, you want to invite them.
Sure.
Like if you don't invite someone to your party, they're going to feel some kind of way. There's a vast chasm between not inviting someone to your party and not going when you've been invited. Those are not the same thing. So the result is the same. The result is I'm not at Jay's birthday party. But if I don't go to Jay's birthday party because he knows I don't like to go to parties, then he's not offended by that. But the fact that he did not invite me, I am offended by that. So that's in my opinion, that is a terrible mistake. You must always invite people to events. Like when you guys all had your big fancy dinner,
sure.
The entire ESPN radio team got together and had this big dinner up in Bristol, and you did not invite me. You did not invite. We decided that ESPN radio was going to have a party, was going to have a social event, and you did not invite me. Let's just contemplate that for one moment. Does anyone else see any of the nonsensical quality of that? I don't want to say anything that will sound not very what's the word I'm looking for? Not self-congratulatory. But you would think that I would get an invite to that party and I did not. So that's the difference. Now you're going to tell me it's because I wouldn't have gone, and you're right. But if I don't go, that is a very different dynamic than you not inviting me in the first place. Does that make sense, Bubba?
Yeah, we understand that in the future we're going to invite you. We also only ask in the future when you come to Bristol, maybe you'll let us know.
Hardly the same thing. Those are not the same thing.
Remember earlier in the show?
I didn't have a social event. What was earlier in the show?
When we looked up the definition of hypocrisy.
Yes.
I think you're telling me,
listen, stand by. Everyone listening, I want you to be the judge and jury of this right now. I had a meeting in Bristol that I was going to. I didn't parenthetically want the entire world to know I was going to this meeting. So, one day after I race up to Bristol. It's like 100 miles away. I race up to see one of the executives up there. We have a little chat. We talk about a little something, whatever it might be. And then we're done with that. And I got to go back to the city. I want to get back before the traffic. I need to eat a little something, though I'm starving. So I go to the cafeteria and I run into Cam. That was the only time I'd ever met Cam before he was here last week.
Yep.
Bubba, meanwhile, is incredibly offended that I didn't let him know that I was coming
to Bristol.
Well, not
only did you see, you saw Cam, Liam, Nuno.
But all by accident. I mean, I literally just ran into them. If you had been there, you would have seen me too. If I had called Liam, Cam, Nuno, and said, I'm coming to Bristol, would love to hang, and didn't call you, then that would be hypocrisy. But in this case, I literally just went down to get one of those turkey burgers I always loved for the 22 years that I worked at. Well, we didn't have the cafeteria until like my eighth year, but whatever. We used to just have like one little room where they would make wrap sandwiches. And as a result, we ate at McDonald's like every single meal. But that's a whole other topic for a whole other day. The point of the story is, if I had said, hey, guys, I'm coming up. Justin, let's get together. Liam, let's get together. Cam, let's get together. Nuno, let's get together. And not invited you, Bubba, not alerted you, then I could see you being upset by this. But I literally just ran into them. Is that not different?
I mean, I agree. It's not.
Is that not different than you guys having a party of like 30 people at a dinner? You have a 30-person dinner to sort of. That was not 12 people.
It was.
It was just the morning show.
It was the morning show, and Bubba and I got invited because you and Heather weren't here.
If we would have had our own dinner, and it would have just been us, and each show had their own dinner. We just happened to go to the morning show dinner.
Well,
the point is, if you come to Bristol, just swing by and say hi. That's all you had to do.
Okay, fair enough.
And in the future, when we have the next time shows are in Bristol, we'll extend the invite. You'll decline. We'll move on.
Now, having said all of that, this is not the only bone to pick that I have with our morning show.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris Canty and I now have beef. It seems we have beef. And that is a man I do not want to have beef with because he's got a lot beefier than I am. So the good news is I don't think we have serious beef, but we have a disagreement. We have a respectful, certainly at least on my side, disagreement. So I'll take you back how all this happened. Yesterday on Unsportsmanlike, Chris Canty named 5 teams in the NFL that he said you could bet right that minute have no chance of making the playoffs this coming year. And he named 4 teams that project to be very bad and the Jets. And I went on the air and I said, I really disagree with this. A, the Jets have a loaded roster. B, when Aaron Rodgers was there, when he was upright, when he was healthy, when he was doing his thing, which obviously was not any part of the season, but through all of the season, the stuff leading up to the season, all we did was laud the impact he was having. The young players loved him. The coaches were raving about him. Hard Knocks was exciting. Everything he did seemed like every single move he made was magic. Like Aaron Rodgers was the reason everything was going well. And as a consequence, with him back healthy, I really think everything is going to go well. So I guess they played that for Canty. He responded today, and what he said is shocking and incredibly important. And if he's right, then things are about to be much, much worse than I could ever have imagined. And you will hear it next on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! Good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greeny, the podcast. Greeny.
When I worked in Bristol, there was a little area in the caf that you would get snacks and put them in a plastic bag. When you came up, they would wave them, and that's how they would charge you. And one time, the guy behind the thing said to me, "Oh, Mr. Greenberg, you're going to have to put your nuts on the scale." I could not continue. I said to him, "How do you expect me to go back to work now? Like, I'm supposed to host SportsCenter tonight after you just told me to put my nuts on the scale?"
If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
This is Greeny.
People just say funny things sometimes, and I'm expected to just keep living my life. Like, how do you expect me to react to that? Brandon, I'm looking right at you. If you go someplace and you buy some cashews, and you walk up to pay for them, and the guy says, "Pardon me, sir, you'll have to put your nuts on the scale." Are you telling me you're just going to react to that like, "Oh, okay, great, no problem," and put them on the scale and just get on with your day? No, you're going to react to that. There's no human being alive who's not going to react to that. Find me the person who can react to, can respond to that statement with a straight face. You find me that person. I'll find you the unfunniest person in the entire world. You want to talk about someone you don't want to go to a party with? Hembo. Hembo would probably respond to that in kind. Hembo is probably too busy calculating exactly how much the weight should cost that he's not paying attention to the wording. That said, do I want to do this little news here, by the way, real quick? Let's do it. This is it's breaking news, and it is of enormous consequence. Jeff Passan just tweeted the A's, Oakland, well, no longer Oakland, A's, plan to move to Sacramento for three seasons, 25 through 27, with an option to play there in 28 as well. They will play in Sutter Health Park, which has just over 10,000 seats, with grass outfield seats to increase capacity to 14,000 for at least three seasons. The option year for the A's moving from Oakland to Sacramento gives the team flexibility if its stadium in Las Vegas is not complete. Originally, the A's wanted to be in Vegas by 2027. Then it was 2028. Now it could be as late as 2029. What a embarrassing, horrible, ridiculous situation, isn't it? You know, we saw this thing with Kansas City the other day. The future of the Kansas City teams is in doubt because the taxpayers refused to pass bills paying extra, creating sales tax. Was that what I did? I read that right, Bubba? They were like, they voted
trying to
down
get a new stadium for both the Royals and the Chiefs, and they tried to increase the sales tax for have the people in Missouri pay for it.
I'm sorry, I love sports more than anything in the world. I make my living doing this, and I am all for sports being as successful as they can possibly be. Every single one of these are teams owned by billionaires, and the valuations of every single one of them skyrocket daily. The people moving the Oakland A's right now could easily sell them for an enormous profit on what they paid. And so could the owners of every team in sports today. So don't tell me that I need to pay for the stadium. I have no interest in hearing that. So if the Chiefs and Royals move out of Kansas City, it'll be one of the truly outrageous things that we've seen happen in sports in a really long time, because some other municipality is willing to build them a stadium. Let's have that conversation when we get to it. I promised you Chris Canty. Again, I said I believe Rodgers' leadership, which I have more faith in than that of any other person in that building was the thing that gave me the most confidence about the Jets' upcoming season. Chris Canty this morning disagreed. Here's what he said.
That's the problem with Aaron Rodgers. He limits what your franchise can do or what they're willing to do because he's basically taking control of your franchise. This guy is a cancer that's metastasized throughout the entire building in Florham Park. And I don't know why Jets fans can't see it. That's why I said your season is over before it starts. It's not about your talent. It's about what Aaron Rodgers makes your franchise. He is a culture killer. And because, from a production standpoint, he's not the same guy that he was 3 or 4 years ago when he won back-to-back MVPs, the juice ain't worth the squeeze. But guess what? Sometimes you got to learn things the hard way, and Jets fans are going to relearn that this season. 2023 wasn't a fluke.
Okay, so look, I mean, everything I'm about to say, I say with extraordinary respect and friendship for Chris Canty. But boy, do I see that differently. A fluke is a relative term. 2023 was a wash. Aaron Rodgers did not get to do anything. He did not get to play. He did not make it. You don't need me to recount the history of it. He didn't make it out of the first series of the season. What impact did he have on the team the rest of the way? I don't have any way of knowing, but I don't have any reason to believe it was negative. I felt like they said that when he was around, things got better. Like at first he couldn't be around the team at all. And then he was able, because he was rehabbing, you know, whatever, right after the surgery, couldn't travel, whatever the reason was. And then when he started, you know, being around the team, it felt like Zach Wilson played a little better and things got a little better. And again, I will go back to what I believed to be true in April and May and June and July and August, which was that Rodgers was leading, that the building loved him, that the players loved him, that it was not what everyone feared it would be. I remember sitting here saying, this is beyond anyone's wildest dreams, the way he has handled this situation so far, up till then. And then he got hurt, which made the whole thing irrelevant. But I understand what Chris is saying. Could he be right? Of course he could be right. If he's right, then this is going to be, this season, this coming season, is going to make last season look like it was 1968 all over again. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, that's the only time the Jets ever won the Super Bowl. Because that team is in desperate need of something to rally around, something to believe in. The defense has a chance to be so good. There is so much incredibly talented youth on this team, and they're looking for someone to follow. And they all want that person, that someone, to be Aaron. And he's either going to do it or he's not. Either I'm going to be right. Maybe I'm just applying wishful, hopeful thinking to this. I don't know. Or maybe Canty is going to be right. Now, again, if Canty is right, then this is a catastrophe waiting to happen. But that's honestly, Bubba and Cam, you tell me, that isn't the way I look at it. I think there is a chance that a healthy Aaron Rodgers playing great, you know, however great he still has left in him, it's so much better than anything the Jets have had lately, it's not even worth talking about. And having the credibility that comes with all of his accomplishment, that I think it has a chance to have a very, very positive impact on the rest of the people in the building and on the roster. Do you see it differently from, do you see it my way or do you see it Canty's way?
I am probably a little closer to Canty's way. But
why? Tell me why. Give me the biggest reason why.
I just think we found out last season, and obviously it was a huge catastrophic football event when he got injured, but that the culture is very fragile. And I do think he can hold some of that together when he's there and playing and isn't just rehabbing and going on McAfee.
Can I push back a little?
Yeah.
Yes. Is the culture fragile? Yeah. The Jets were 7-10. They weren't 2-15. The team didn't splinter. The defense didn't splinter. They had to try and rally around a young quarterback that none of them believed in and none of them liked. And they did, all things considered, not that badly at it.
Yeah, but the offense was atrocious. And they're putting in pieces in place to make it a ton better. The offensive line's already better. The weapons are better. But we saw a lot of teams with quarterbacks go down last season. Not all of them built their entire team around Rodgers. And several of them made the playoffs. So I think the fact that it fell apart completely without him is a concerning sign. Him being there will help hold it together, but there's definitely some fractures in there that could break if things go wrong. I think the coaching staff is nervous. probably that they're going to lose their jobs if things don't go well. So we'll see if he can hold it together.
We're going to find out. Look, as I said, if Canty is right, we're going to be wishing for the good old days of last year. We'll see you tomorrow on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcast.